Welcome back to Little Clue on your Sunday morning. Hopefully you're joining us via the Fantasy Sports Radio app, but if not, if you're on TuneIn or iHeartRadio, we appreciate it. You can reach out to us today on Fantasy Sports Radio at FNTSY Radio. You can be you can catch up with me at Mike Blewett and Kevin at the Kevin Walsh. If you want to give us a call today about any of the AFC West projections or previews that we're giving you, please do so by calling 844-843-6879. That's 84-FNTSY. And I'm bringing in right now one of my good friends in fantasy football. He and I were doing podcasts, I want to say 8 or 9 seasons ago, back on another platform a long time ago. It seems like a lifetime ago, but here we are. Happy to talk with my friend Jim Day. You can find him on Twitter at Fantasy Taz. He's very involved in doing a lot of he did a lot of draft masters for Scott Fishbowl, which is off and running right now. And he's a Fighting Chance fantasy writer. And you can go to fightingchancefantasy.com in order to find his latest. So, Jim, first of all, thanks for being here. Great to talk to you again.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, you know, you previewed it a little bit yesterday on Twitter by saying it's an interesting dynamic. You know, over the years, there are certain guys in fantasy football that you sort of scratch your head and wonder why it is that people don't elevate them in their fantasy rankings. At wide receiver, you have guys like Larry Fitzgerald and Golden Tate come to mind, where people just don't quite want to draft them where they probably should be. And with running back, it's Frank Gore. People trying to get out a year early when Frank Gore just keeps rushing for 1,000 yards. But at quarterback, for a long time, it's been Phil Rivers. Maybe it's the penchant to throw interceptions. Maybe it's a lack of NFL success, playoff success. But to your point, Phil Rivers is often overlooked.
Oh, absolutely. You're talking about a guy who only once in his starting career didn't finish as a top 12 quarterback, you know, in basic fantasy settings. Like, you know, crazy leagues, of course, have different settings. But, you know, in a basic standard league, he's been a top 12 quarterback every season he started except one, and that was back in 2012. This year, he's coming off the board right now currently as the 15th quarterback taken behind some very unproven guys like Pat Mahomes and, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo and things like that. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. This is a guy who's coming off a top seven season last year. You know, they took a little bit of a hit losing tight end Henry Hunter for the season, but he's got should be improved O-line this year with the addition of Mike Pouncey and last year's rookie that didn't get a chance to play too much and should be back at guard this year. So I'm really liking his chances to bounce back and, you know, put up big numbers. And again, he's just being drafted way too low.
Jim, if you had to give some credence to the side, though, that might be low on Phillip Rivers, and look, I tend to agree with you, he is undervalued. Could they at least make the argument that his most important pieces are injury-prone guys? Keenan Allen, obviously, we know his injury history, as you mentioned, already missing Hunter Henry. The offensive line doesn't always seem to stay fully intact. So could you offer some credence to that, or still, this is a guy that, no matter what, needs to be one of the first 12 quarterbacks picked?
I think he's one of the first 12 quarterbacks that should be picked every year. I'm sorry. I mean, you're talking about over the last 5 years. Let's look at some of his averages. He's averaged over 585 attempts a year. He's averaged over 4,450 yards a year, and he's averaged a little over 30 TDs a year. You know, those are top 12 numbers across the board. And, you know, to take some of these younger guys that people think have the upside over a guy who's just proven it year in and year out, you know what, it just makes it that much easier for me to grab him late.
Yeah, and, you know, I was thinking about it yesterday as Jim and I were just kind of chatting over social media. I won 2 Dynasty League titles, a pretty competitive league that Jim founded, by the way, and with Phil Rivers at quarterback. Now, granted, it's a pretty deep league and quarterback is somewhat de-emphasized, but I never had any problems at quarterback because Phil Rivers was always there putting up numbers. This is a league that's, I think, in its seventh season, and I never really had any issues whatsoever with it. But in any event, I think we've hammered the point home. I'll take Phil Rivers over the unproven guys like Garoppolo and in some instances, Deshaun Watson. I think the Texans might have to throw a lot this year, but I just like the proven guys versus somebody having to come back off an ACL like Watson, Mahomes, who hasn't done anything yet, and Jimmy Garoppolo, who had a very short window of success. But let's move on to the running back position. I don't think there's too much you need to say about it because Melvin Gordon put up a big year last year, and he is coming off the board. He's probably the eighth running back I'm seeing right now, according to Fantasy Pros, coming off the board. So I think people are respecting it, but give me your sense of if you think he can repeat what he did last year, any kind of regression or positive increase in his stats going into this season.
No, he's definitely the bell cow in this offense. You know, you're talking about a guy who touched the ball over 330 times last year. You know, I think we see sort of those same numbers. They're looking at him to be the guy every down as much as they can. You know, he's coming off a season where he caught 58 balls, had 83 targets. You know, you got to love those kind of numbers for a running back. You just do. And, you know, while he's definitely the bell cow there, you had Austin Ekeler behind him who had a decent season in the limited time he had. He had 5 touchdowns, almost 600 yards total offense. He did something. And then they grabbed the rookie Justin Jackson in the 7th round in this year's draft. And, you know, what people don't realize that if Gordon does go down with any kind of injury, then it's going to be, I think, Justin Jackson taking that role as the main back, with Austin Ekeler still being the, you know, expansion back, as you were. So, you know, don't sleep on Justin Jackson. Right now he's not being drafted in most any league, and he's definitely a guy, especially in best ball, I would take as a late-round flyer.
Let me piggyback off that then. I mean, do you think that there's any chance Justin Jackson could cut into Melvin Gordon's workload a bit? Again, you mentioned the bell cow, certainly, but it's not been super efficient. He's yet to even get to 4 yards per carry within his first 3 seasons. So could they give some carries to Justin Jackson, and then they lower that workload for Melvin Gordon? Maybe there's a little bit more efficiency for him there.
Well, that's always a possibility, but I don't think it's going to be enough at any point while Gordon's still healthy to warrant Jackson being a fantasy viable running back before that. You know, we may see Justin Jackson get, you know, 4 to 6 carries a game if Gordon's healthy, but definitely not enough to cut into anything.
How about wide receivers? So Keenan Allen right now, 6th wide receiver coming off the board. Obviously, he led the league last year in some key categories at the receiver position, so a really fantasy boom last year. But you got Mike Williams, who's coming, trying to come back for a healthy season. And you got Tyrell Williams there as well, who people are, they're ranked right next to each other on Fantasy Pros, 59 and 60. So part of your depth chart, but not anywhere in the wide receiver 3 range. So do you expect either one of them to distance themselves and become a clear number 2?
I expect Mike Williams to clearly distance himself. I like Tyrell Williams, don't get me wrong. And in late rounds, he's definitely a good flyer. But I think Mike Williams, I mean, when you look into last year's draft, a lot of people considered him the best wide receiver in that draft. And then he just wasn't healthy. He missed all of offseason, missed the first month of the year, just didn't get going at any time. Now he's, you know, supposed to be fully healthy. And if he's fully healthy, we're going to see what he can do, especially with Keenan Allen on the other side, taking most double teams away. I really like Mike Williams to have a solid year this year. And where he's being drafted, like you said, is not really a viable wide receiver 3. I won't be surprised at all if he's easily a wide receiver 3 by the end of the year, maybe even creeping up into wide receiver 2 numbers. This kid is a monster when he's on the field.
So I actually want to bring in a caller, and it is our good friend, a guy that we did the podcast with many years ago, Jim, and it's Tony Sincotta.
You know, like old times.
Blog Talk Radio days.
Yes. Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, we put them out of business, I think. here's the thing. San Diego's interesting, but I'll tell you what, based on the drafts, I think the Raiders in this division are the most interesting. I mean, those wide receivers are all dropping down drafts. Who's truly going to be their running back? And I'm not convinced anymore that Carr is a top-flight NFL caliber quarterback. I don't know if he's the future of the Raiders.
Yeah, well, I would say, and I'd throw it back to Jim. Jim, I would say that this Chargers receiving core is kind of the one on the come. We already know that Allen is who he is, but you made a big point about Mike Williams. I love the depth that they have with Tyrell Williams and Travis Benjamin there. It doesn't mean that Travis Benjamin is immediately fantasy relevant, but depth behind their top-end talent is pretty impressive, no?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, they have four solid NFL wide receivers on this team, and you got to love that, especially as Kevin was saying before. You know, you got to worry a little bit about Keenan Allen playing all 16 games. Of course, at this point, we have no idea if Mike Williams can play 16 games. So you definitely like to see them have that depth behind that.
Tony, while you're there, then I wanted to just to ask you, because we started off, we were talking about Phillip Rivers, and I know you know, Tony always does a good job of telling people why they're stupid, and Jim was just making a great point that every year people try and get cute with it, and they end up overvaluing unproven guys or riskier guys, and they let Phillip Rivers fall through the cracks. So do you agree, kind of consensus here, that Phillip Rivers is a guy that needs to be certainly one of the first 12 quarterbacks taken, if not higher?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of anti-Christian sentiment out there against Phillip Rivers, I think.
You think it's an anti-Catholic movement?
Yeah, that's the problem.
I'm sure
he's a nice guy. Well, he has nine kids, one wife, and I think that people are, you know, hold that against him. Why? Do you have a better reason why you wouldn't pick the guy in the top 12? I mean, he throws the ball 40 times a game. Every year he's consistently there. I got nothing better. That's what I'm going with.
Jim, I'll throw that to you.
Everybody wants a shiny new toy.
I agree. That's a lot of what it is. So people are like, I'm done with Larry Fitzgerald, and he catches 100 balls a year. I'm done with Phil Rivers. He's just been there forever. It's like, well, yeah, he's been there forever, and he probably throws a few too many interceptions, but he's also throwing the ball. For the last several years, he's been throwing the ball a lot to keep the team in the game. Now that the rest of the roster has kind of caught up to his talent level, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and I'll make a transition to you, Jim, on this, it puts him in an even better position because this team might be winning some more games. So I actually wanted to transition to that, the defensive side of the ball. They're sort of loaded now. We've been waiting for a couple of years for this all to come together. Now they have a top-flight guy in Joey Bosa on the first line of defense. They got Ingram pass rushing as well, along with Denzel Perryman at middle linebacker. You got Casey Hayward there, who everybody loves. Jason Verrett, who's a former first-round draft pick, suffered some injuries. And then Derwin James slots in. So let me ask you from an IDP standpoint, Bosa seems like he's at the top of the list, but then who are you going for after that?
Well, I really like Denzel Perryman at their weak side position. I think he definitely has a chance to put up some solid numbers this year. And, you know, of course, Melvin Ingram, you know, a lot of talk about Joey Bosa, but Melvin Ingram is still a top defensive end in this league, so I wouldn't sleep on him. You know, they got some nice backfield cornerback duo of Casey Haywood and Jason Verrett, you know. These are guys that definitely score. You know, they're not going to be top cornerbacks, but they're going to put you in a quarterback two, quarterback three range. And, you know, I like Jahlil Adlai as the strong safety. He's got a chance in this defense to put up, you know, close to 80 tackles.
How do you feel then, Jim, about the safety playing next to him, the rookie Derwin James? We heard a lot of great things about him entering last year's college football season. He fell all the way down to 17, and then the second he was picked, everybody's like, that's an absolute steal. He could certainly, I think, end up having a very productive season, rookie or not.
Well, look, the only thing about him is that they're probably going to use him mostly in the free safety position. Mm. And one of the things we found in IDP is that free safeties don't often score as well as the strong safeties. So, you know, he's going to be out there. He's going to make plays, but it's going to really be contingent on how many big plays he can make to whether or not he can be a fantasy-relevant scorer.
Yeah. Let me throw this to both of you. Tony, you can answer this one first. With Hunter Henry out, does that eliminate the tight end position as being of any value on this team, or does Virgil Green kind of slot in and become a sneaky tight end too?
Yeah, I think anytime you're looking at the tight end position, 8 through 15, you probably got a point and a half that separates anything. So I wouldn't say I want to eliminate him, but I wouldn't be looking to draft that. I think it gives an opportunity if San Diego's offensive line, which did get better in the offseason, can hold up blocking, that they go into more three wide receiver sets.
Jimmy,
and I'll agree with Tony on the three wide receiver sets. It makes no sense not to with the wide receivers they have. Virgil Green is still thought of as a blocker. He's not really going to be fantasy relevant. I think the fantasy relevant tight end that they're going to have this year isn't on the squad yet. Whether they go back to Antonio Gates or they wait till somebody gets dropped from another team, they're going to look to add somebody because Rivers likes to throw to his tight end. We've seen that year in, year out. They're going to get him somebody to throw to. It's not anybody currently on the roster right now.
So yeah, then, to give everybody a sense of what did – sorry, Kev, I'll go right to you in a second. To give everybody a sense of what happened with their offensive line during the offseason, Russell Okung has been there. Mike Pouncey, though, they signed from Miami during the offseason. And then Forrest Lamp, who was their early second-round draft pick in 2017, tore his ACL last training camp, so he barely played. So they're effectively adding – two new players to this offensive line and considered upgrades from what they have. So it's good news for Melvin Gordon, Phillip Rivers, and the like, in my estimation. I think they'll grade pretty high in offensive line rankings. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, I just wanted to go off that tight end point. Then fantasy-wise, would you, if you had to, you know, pick one of the situations, would you prefer to see Antonio Gates come back and at least the rapport is there and they can, I guess, focus on that connection and he's the guy? Or maybe the upside of a Virgil Green, and maybe because, as you said, Rivers does like his tight end. So, Jim, would you rather see Gates come back or see if there's something there with Virgil Green?
I'd much rather see Gates come back. Virgil Green's a blocker. That's what they use him for. That's what they've used him for since he's come into the league. I don't see that changing pretty much at all. We're talking about a guy, I think his most productive year was less than 250 yards, less than 25 receptions. It's just not – I just don't see him as a viable tight end in any shape or form. I think – if they go out and get Gates, I think that would be wonderful for Rivers, and I'm sure he'd be excited. But, there's another guy in Dallas that looks to be cut from Dallas, Enrico Gethers, that would be another good, strong option. He's definitely a pass-catching tight end that they could use. So be wary of guys like that because those are the guys that are going to end up on this team.
So I'll go rapid-fire. Tony, you think the Chargers win this division?
Yeah, 11-5.
Jim, thoughts?
Actually, I like them a lot to win this division. Yeah, I agree. They made a nice charge at the end of last year to finish 9-7. I think they can unseat the Chiefs this year.
Yeah, the schedule's not that brutal either. Vegas loves them, has them well in front of the other teams in this division. Thank you, Tony, for giving us a call. If you want to follow Jim Day on Twitter, he's one of the best follows out there for fantasy football. So go to @FantasyTaz, T-A-Z. He's going for Fighting Chance. He's writing for Fighting Chance Fantasy Writer. That's FightingChanceFantasy.com. Jim, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, thanks, guys.